And there's all kinds of weight. You know, there's so much depth here that you could sit here and meditate on these verses. You know, let's mourn for our sins now so that we can laugh in the deliverance that's to come. You know, people laugh, oh, we're all sinners. They're going to cry later because they will answer for their sins. This is one of my favorites here. When all men shall hate you and they shall separate you from their company and reproach you. People don't like to be reproached. And I am as guilty as anyone. I'll tell you what, it's easy to sit here behind a microphone, staring at a computer monitor with the levels going up and down. I'm just talking to myself. If I really thought about all the ears that would listen to this, I'd probably stop doing it. Because I am a man subject to the same vanities as any other man. I don't want to be disliked, but I got to get over it, don't I? Because if we behave ourselves out of a desire to preserve a reputation, we will certainly not please God. We can't be people pleasers. You know, the scriptures say, you know, it is love to rebuke someone who's in sin. But it's very likely that you're not going to be well received for it. But if you say nice things to people in their sins, if you say, oh, your behavior is perfectly normal. Of course, everyone should be kind and understanding that this is just another lifestyle, or you're just this and blah, blah, blah. Then people are going to say, oh, what a good, kind, and understanding person you are. And then to the one who preaches righteousness, they say, you're so judgmental, you're so unforgiving. It's not about unforgiving. I want to forgive. But I have to preach the righteousness that will lead you to repentance. What's the point of forgiving the sin if you're going to go back and do it? If you return to your wallowing in the mire. You know, the pig that is washed is returned to his wallowing. For my own sake, I'll forgive it. I mean, I'll gladly do it 190 times a day, 490 times a day as Jesus counseled. But for your sake, I'm going to keep telling you that if you keep doing that, it will not go well with you. I tell myself the same thing. That's how I pursue righteousness. By not giving up, by not accepting a lesser standard. And that's the number one reason why people are not going to like you. Yeah, there's prophecy. You know, you say to people, the rapture is a lie. People aren't going to like it. But I'm talking, when you preach righteousness, now you're really coming up against people. Now you're really rubbing them the wrong way. When you start talking about the sovereignty of God, people are not going to like to hear that. That's not how God is. And this is, again, this is one we can meditate on for hours. And I counsel you to do it. Think about it. There's so many ways. You know, that's what they did to the false prophets. They spoke well. Ooh, I love his prophecy. He always says things I like to hear. That sounds good. I want to believe in that. You know how many people judge what they're going to believe based on how good it sounds to them? When rather we ought to judge it based on how right it is. You know, but there's a way that seems right to man, but the way and thereof is destruction. How can man even judge? It's only if God gives it to us to understand. There's nothing we have that we have not received from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. If you want to understand, you better go to the one who gives understanding. If you want to be deceived, you better go to the one who sends forth deception. God's not a deceiver, but he made a deceiver. And he sends him forth to deceive. And if you want to not be deceived, seek to him that has power over those people and authority over the one who has authority to deceive. Verse 27, but I say to you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Love your enemies. A lot of people, what does it mean to love our enemies? Does it mean we comfort our enemies in their sins? No. I mean, as it is said in other places, love your enemy, feed him when he's hungry, clothe him when he's naked, do good to him, bless him, be a blessing to them. But that to be a blessing to your enemy, it doesn't mean this. They're doing evil, and I see it, and I say, well, I'm just going to love them and not say anything. No, no, you hate your enemy in that case. If you refuse to rebuke your enemy, you hate him. You hate him. Because what you're saying is, I don't have enough faith in God to step out and risk their scorn. Because the last thing I want to do is have my enemy scorn me. You know, it really bites when your enemy says something, you know, you, blah, 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 right? It's to endure their scorn. It's not pleasant. But what you're saying is, I don't have enough faith in God that if I step out, I don't want to risk being scorned. You know, they're probably not going to hear anyways. They're bound for hell. So I'm not going to try to say anything to them that would turn them from their wickedness and their iniquity. You hate them. You hate them. Loving your enemy can include some very austere measures to try to turn them. You know, we can't turn them ourselves, but we can create the environment around ourselves that is conducive to turning. By being demanding. Sometimes the greatest enemies are they of your own house, your own near family who are disobedient to the word. And you have to be very tough with them. They can be your enemies. But at the same time, we have to love them. And the way we love them is not by just, let's just go along to get along. We'll just be nice. We'll do this. Sometimes it means you create consequences. Just like your children. Is it love to your children to just let them get away with whatever they want? Well, if you love your children enough to create consequences and to set about, different things, then love your enemies also. The only, people who refuse to rebuke their enemy, it is only out of their own sense of they want to avoid conflict and their own selfishness that they won't do these things. It's not because they love their enemies. It's because they love themselves. And a lot of times people use the love your enemy excuse to hate their enemy and to do the exact opposite of what the Lord counsels, because they haven't really thought in their hearts what it means truly to love your enemy. You know, when people don't want to let homosexuals get married, I mean, I see that as, I know that they love those people. They're trying to keep them from further sin. But also, like I said before, trying to use the law to enforce righteousness is not going to help the situation. It's no greater sin if they call it marriage or not. They can call it whatever they want. It doesn't matter what they call it. It doesn't matter what the law says. And the law is no barrier to the preaching of righteousness. And if it becomes one, we'll just defy the law.